Hey there, hi there, ho there. It's time once again to talk music here on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. This is the Midwest Beat. And hey, this show is all about music, the people who make it. And tonight I've got a hometown native who has traveled extensively, played with some famous names, has done a lot of different recording, performing, and we're going to get to find out what his story is all about. Hailing from East Chicago, we've got Jamie M. Harrison. He is my guest this evening, and we're going to talk about music, his roots, where he's been, where he's going, and what's next in his career. Jamie, welcome.
How's it going?
It's going. I've got to be completely honest with my listeners. Last time I saw you, you were like about 3.5 feet tall. You were wearing pajamas and running around the house, and your mom was telling you to go to bed. So that's the last time I connected with you other than when you called in here on the show, and you certainly have grown up, and clearly the talents of Jim Scafish and has metastasized in your DNA, and you are your own musician, your own style, your own look, your own sound, and I want to find out all about how this little knee-biter went on to grow up into such a great, talented musician. So where do we start?
Well, she still tells me to go to bed, but I don't always go to bed.
But do you still wear the footy pajamas?
That, you know, people have to find out their own way.
There you go.
No footy pajamas.
No footy pajamas. So when did you first start playing music? I mean, obviously growing up in the home you did with Jim Scafish, one of the great pianists as well as punk rockers and pretty much anything that man's capable of. Was it something that came natural because of the environment, or was it something they encouraged or discouraged?
I'd say it came natural. There's actually a picture my mom has that it's from Pumpkin Studios.
With Gary Loizzo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gary Loizzo and Dad's in the studio recording. And they took me over by the piano, and it's me and him just kind of playing around at the piano. So,
how old were you then?
It would have been 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I was doing classical recitals at like 5 years old. My dad taught Suzuki. So, we were playing probably at times 1,000 people, you know, at age five, so doing the classical thing. So
it just naturally is something that came to be. Now, a lot of musicians learn on piano, and of course it's a string instrument like guitar. Do you still play a lot of piano, or are you primarily a guitar guy now?
Yeah, I do. I play lots of piano. It seems there's been a lot of action in the guitar world for me. I just actually started working with a keyboard company called Dexabel. They're Italian, and I signed onto their artist roster sometime last year. Playing lots of, I guess they call it utility guy, you know, guitar,
okay,
and keyboards and backup singing for other artists.
So you're doing a lot of session work then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as well as recording your own album, which Absolutely. We're going to play some of your songs tonight. You're in town, you mentioned, to do some recording and mixing and things like that. What's on the agenda here?
So one of the songs we're going to play, that cover of Purple Rain, we actually mixed here in town at Thunderclap Studios.
With John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Well, John's been in the studio here many times with us.
And Jim is very, very familiar with John Carpenter because he's worked with him so much over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what was your take on Thunderclap? I mean, it's a little tiny studio here in Northwest India, kind of nestled away. A lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah, but I mean, lots of great. I mean, I've got nothing but good things to say about, and I've heard nothing but good things my whole life from my dad about John. So.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, you have a guitar on. It is purple, and we're not going to get to the Purple Rain song just yet. We want to make people wait just a bit. But what do you want to do? Let's do something live.
Okay. Let's do a song. Here's one of the tunes off the album. And what's cool with the album is we're going to have both acoustic versions and band versions of all the original stuff.
So there's going to be two takes of each song.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
You can tell I grew up on Unplugged. So.
Yeah. Wow. All right, let's do something. What is this one?
This is called Devil's Kiss.
Devil's Kiss.
Walking along a long dark road, hanging my weary head, brought down by the demons that held my hand, thinking I'll soon be dead. There's tears that fall on the sacred ground, place that I come to chant. Seeing a broken-hearted angel with long dark hair, thinking what she said. She said, wake up now, for it's too late. You're too damn good to have time to waste. Hit the ground running, don't slam on the brakes. Devil's kiss and high-heeled shoes, rolling the dice, cause there's nothing to lose. Only the good die young. My heart's gonna break me down. There ain't no love in this town. Oh yeah. And somebody started a fire. I needed to clean my head. I went back to the stage, find my way to things I should have did. There's a look in the crowd, came my way with words that couldn't be said. Days turned to night, maybe something just feels right, but man, it's gonna burn. Devil's kiss and high-heeled shoes, rolling the dice, cause there's nothing to lose. Only the good die young. My heart's gonna break me down. There ain't no love in this town. Oh yeah. She said, hey there baby, think you're going crazy. Got a bad idea, think you're gonna like. Devil's kiss and high-heeled shoes, rolling the dice, cause there's nothing to lose. Only the good die young. My heart's gonna break me down. There ain't no love in this town. Oh yeah. Ain't no love in this town. No love in this town.
Yeah. Devil's Kiss, that's an original tune.
Yeah.
And that'll be on the new album, the acoustic and electric version. Now, when you say full band, are you recording here with the full band? Or are you going back home and using your own band? Or?
So actually, we're using a space in New Mexico called Santa Fe Center Studios.
Okay.
And the engineer there and the owner is Grammy Award winner Jerry Doug Geist. So, and we've got actually a great cast on that that album. We've got Rich Reed, who hails from Chicago area, mm-hmm. and he actually worked with Jim in the 80s.
Okay.
And he's done work with Sister Sledge and Sophie B. Hawkins and my bass player, Guy Lagerway, who's a New York session player. He's friends with Victor Wooten and used to record with a real famous producer, Kashif, who discovered Victor Wooten and lots of other folks. So
right.
It's kind of a East Coast, Midwest contract killer, kind of.
Well, you're certainly running with some good company. There's some heavy hitters, big guns.
Yeah.
What's it like to come from East Chicago and suddenly you're on both coasts and you're in the cities and you're touring and you're getting endorsements? I mean, that's not something most people out of Northwest Indiana can believe will happen to them.
You know, it's interesting because so in East Chicago, I grew up, you know, going to East Chicago Central High School. And, you know, there was kind of this sense that people kind of looked down on you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's like Chicago, but not really, but kind of, you know, and a lot of people kind of have this attitude like you're never going to be nothing, you know, because you're from East Chicago.
Or, right.
Or, you know, it's like I remember when I was a kid, I had this like feeling like, oh God, like, you know, like I don't, like I'll end up in the steel mill, you know, like, you know, just kind of, and it's, you know, and that's a great job for a lot of folks, but, you know, I never wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to do something other than that.
When did you know that? When did you know I'm going to do music for a living? I mean, you were playing at 5 years old. When did you say, this is what I'm going to do and know it?
Man, I think I'm still saying that. I think you have to commit to saying that every day. That's how that works. But no, I mean, it was always just what I wanted to do. It's like there were always guitars, and you know, anywhere I was, I mean, it was just kind of like this is just what we do. You know, we don't you know, there's like job fairs in school, and you're like, I don't care about all that. I don't want to deal with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was kind of – it was subconscious more than it was conscious, I think. It was just kind of always like, okay, there's another gig. There's something booked. But so I've always kind of known.
Okay. So the album that you're talking about, that you're working on, what's the target date? What's the plan here? Do you have a title up for it yet?
There's not a title quite yet, and I would love to have a target date, but there's nothing officially set. It should be this year. You know, neglecting any acts of God or something like
mm-hmm.
that, it should be this year.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, we're in the last leg of all that stuff. So most things are tracked at this point, and then we're doing vocals and little odds and ends.
How many songs total? I mean, how many songs? I know we're double timing the track count.
Right.
But how many songs?
So there's three originals.
Okay.
You know, so times two. So there's acoustic and electric versions of that. And then we've got Purple Rain, and maybe I'll write that down. So it's kind of an EP sort of thing, but it's a little bit more than just an EP, but it's,
mm-hmm.
So probably about eight tracks.
Okay. Now, why did you decide to cover a Prince song? You give it your own spin, and we're going to play it in just a second here, but you're wearing a purple guitar with a purple scarf tied to it, so I'm thinking there's some kind of purple connection. What is the kindredness between you and Prince?
Well, I've always... even before I was aware who Prince was, loved purple. You know, in fact, I went home and I'm looking at the wall and it's still purple from when that was my room. And I'm very thankful that Mom and Dad let me do that. And, of course, when I say let me, you know, that means Mom got in there and painted the wall because I wanted purple walls.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always, always loved that. And even as I got older, I really loved Prince's attitude. Of course, I loved the songwriting. But more than the writing or the song specifically, it's really that attitude. You know, it's kind of like I'm going to show you what I can do. You know, it's sexy, it's cool, it's hip.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I've always loved that. And then over the years, I've got to work with you know, several folks who have worked with Prince, and you know, they just talk about that guy just oozed charisma and attitude. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because Prince, like you, had a famous father who was a musician. Now, they had a bit of an estranged situation. You sound like you have a great relationship with Jim, your dad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. Well, let's do we have that song ready to go? All right, let's do Jamie's version of Purple Rain, and we're going to check this out, and we're going to talk a little bit more about where he's been and where he's going.
Purple rain, purple rain. till we all stand on some moon that means you too. Say one leader can't seem to make your mind. You better close it. Let me guide you to the purple rain, purple rain.
Purple rain as the storm blows out there, and good stuff. I like the rain and the thunder and stuff effects. It's kind of neat.
Thanks so much.
Jamie M. Harrison is my guest. That was his take on a Prince classic, and I got to say, I really like that.
Thanks so much.
I mean, Prince rocked it, but that's a little rockier version of it. I like that. Who's the band on it? Who's singing with you?
So that's Rebecca R. Scott. She's a reggae artist and a dear, dear friend. She's awesome. She sings incredible, you know, and that was like, you know, first take stuff.
Wow.
From her. I mean, she just goes in and just knocks it out. She's crazy.
Now, did you record that in New Mexico?
That was recorded in New Mexico.
Okay. Now, we were talking off air. New Mexico, I mean, I interviewed a lot of musicians, and a lot of them go to Nashville or New York or L.A. or Chicago or maybe even Memphis, but you don't really hear, we're recording in New Mexico, we're in Albuquerque. Right. Other than Weird Al talking about Albuquerque, we really don't hear much about it.
Yeah.
You wound up there not through music, but how?
I enlisted in the Air Force, and when I left San Antonio, it was almost a year in San Antonio, I got stationed in Albuquerque, Kirtland Air Force Base.
And you just stayed?
I just stayed because, you know, it's funny because at one point I was looking and I was playing with this band that was kind of a regional cover band kind of a thing. So kind of a Vegas band, I guess.
Like a show band?
Yeah, greatest hits of rock, and we do props and stuff and wigs and spandex pants. I hope none of those pictures surface. but we would kind of run like a little circuit. And I remember at one point, like, because I had to have a clearance because we did presidential security and nuclear stuff. And I remember it was like, hey, you know, you better hope this truck leaves because if it doesn't, then you can't do your gig. But if it leaves, you can go open up for Skid Row, you know, and 38 Special. Mm-hmm. So, and I said, well, if I'm working with people like 38 Special and Skid Row, then, you know, maybe I should give this another shot because I was about to reenlist. And mm-hmm. I said, no, I want to do this. So it just kind of everything kept supporting going back to music full time. And that's what I did.
So how long after you got out did you realize that you'd made the right decision?
Man, that's a really good question. I think when there's been a couple check marks that have been like, okay, like when I've got to share the stage with Nathan East, that was a great, you know, he's obviously won several Grammys and played with, you know, Barbra Streisand or Clapton. When I got to play in Central America, that was a cool thing. You know, I got my passport so I could go do a gig. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I have a passport and I want to travel. Like, it was like, you need to get a passport because we're booked this time next year in Panama.
Wow.
So that was really cool. And just, you know, when people send you messages and, you know, it doesn't matter what's really happening behind the scenes and, you know, how you feel about it because, you know, you might be down and then somebody sends you a message and they're just like, dude, you know, you made it and you're doing it and we're proud of you, you know, so that's the best.
Now, you've, as you said, done a lot of jobbing, session work, live tour work. How satisfying, I guess you would say, since you are a songwriter, to do other people's music and just know somewhere in the back of your head one day it's going to be your songs you're playing. How long of a process is that, and was it frustrating or was it satisfying?
You know, it's kind of like wearing a different mask. So growing up in the region, I would always play, you know, blues guys, you know, you play a 335 hollow body guitar and an old Fender, and that's what you do, kind of a BB King thing, or maybe like Chicago industrial rock, or, you know, like punk stuff like my dad did. I was never thinking I would ever play country music.
Mm-hmm. And you did.
And then, you know, somebody called me and said, hey, I can't do this gig with my buddy George Dukas. Can you fill in for me? I said, well, what's the gig? It's country, man. Like, you can do that. You know? And I was like, well, I never played country. Here's the stuff. Just learn it, you know. And he put me in touch with him. And come to find out, George Dukas is a guy who had several hits of his own, a great solo career. And he's written, you know, at least 10 or 11 number one hits for other country artists like Sarah Evans and Gary Allen, George Jones, Garth Brooks. So lots of crazy stuff. And I started playing a lot of country music with artists of all different calibers.
Now, because you've got that background with country, with funk, with jazz, with whatever, did that help you in preparing for what you're doing now, which is your own album? Because your influences seem, and we're going to play another song from you in just a little bit. Was it Maybe I'll Write That Down?
Yes.
I got it right this time. Maybe I'll Write That Down, which is kind of a ballad. Well, it is a ballad. It's kind of a power ballad-ish kind of song that you might have heard with a little extra guitar in it back in the 80s.
Right.
We heard The Prince. You know, you've just played a really wonderful song just a few minutes ago. All of these have different sounds, different styles, maybe even different genres in many ways. Did coming from that menu of session work and jobbing bring you to where you are?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and one thing that's been really great is I got to learn a lot of lessons kind of at other people's expense. If I'm the guitar player or the keyboard player in their band and we're on the road and, you know, they thought we were going to have something, you know, covered like hotel rooms for the band, which you would think, okay, like where are we sleeping is mm-hmm. like the first thing we're going to figure out, right? but not always. And, you know, oh, it was like a handshake deal. Oh, I got a place for you. But no, we don't really have a place. So they had to figure that out. So, you know, sitting there kind of going, okay, like, let's line up all of our ducks before we get out there and figure stuff out. Things like that, you know, or even just who's going to sell the merch? Like, mm-hmm. okay, we brought all this merch and a merch table. Oh, wait, we got nobody to sell it because we're all up on stage, you know?
Right, right.
That's all, you know.
So you've learned the logistics of road work.
Logistics, because music business, people don't ever think of the last part of that phrase.
Right.
They just think, oh, I'm going to play and not, you know, gas to get out. You know, how many times do you get in your truck to go to a gig and it's like, oh, there's no gas in my truck. I should have thought about that. Now put that with, you know, 10 musicians and a tour mm-hmm. bus and hotel rooms. Oh, God. You know?
Now, last time we had you do a call-in, you were coming to Chicago with a group called Artrageous.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed incredibly eclectic, diverse, Cirque du Soleil-ish. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how to describe what that was. What was it? How long were you with them? And are you still doing anything like that?
You know, at the moment, I'm not working with them. I probably did about 3 years of work with them. And a lot of those folks are, you know, great friends of mine, and we've done a lot of work together. It's kind of I always call it a Vegas show,
mm-hmm.
Because it's like anything goes, and there's dancers and painters and singers and all that kind of fun stuff.
Like vaudeville on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was to say bizarre is almost sounding negative, but it was bizarre in a very uplifting, positive way.
Yeah, and it was a troupe. You know, I've done one proper drum gig where I knew I was going to play drums, and it was because for some reason the drummer couldn't make it to a show in Mexico with that group, and they said, okay, we're going to have you play drums on a couple songs, and it's like this festival for like 5,000 people in Guanajuato, so it's like, hey, you can play Uptown Funk on drums. I'm like, yeah, but you know, like.
Wow.
And, you know, I did it, you know.
So, you're a keyboardist, you're a guitarist. He even says that on your website. And you can visit him online at jamiemharrison.com. Throw the M in there, you'll wind up somewhere else. Jamiemharrison.com. And it does mention, it says keyboards, guitar, vocals. Nowhere on there did I see drums or
right.
trombones or anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're not really a drummer by trade, but you managed to get through that gig?
Yeah, I you know, I play some drums and
okay.
some bass. You know, in session a lot of times, like I've done some bass sessions for folks. I've even played a little bit of drums if you dig really deep and find some of that stuff. But, you know, that's not... My strongest stuff is that, but you know, I have a clarinet and a saxophone. I won a state medal in clarinet way back.
You really are a Renaissance man. My gosh.
The dulcimer is the fun one, though. That's the
I love the sound of a dulcimer. Speaking of great instruments, I want to hear that purple guitar play again. Let's bring it up just a little bit louder, just a hair over the last song. And what are we going to do? Is this another original?
Yeah, this is another original. This one's called Novocaine. So yeah, we'll do
off the new album.
Yep.
All right. Jamie M. Harrison live on Lakeshore. Listen up.
Distant laps betray was left unsaid. A shooting stars in space. Time can't change what's done. Falling too far away from the sun. Sometimes love slips away. I don't believe in fairy tales. Something in my eyes. I don't believe in angels' wings. I don't believe in hell. Novocaine in a candy-coated shell. Novocaine in a candy-coated hell. Eyes that hide the pain. Different moves, same old games we play. I can't feel inside. Can't explain or try to hide. Sometimes love slips away. I don't believe in fairy tales. Something in my eyes. And I don't believe in angels' ways. I don't believe in hell. Novocaine in a candy-coated shell. All my empty fascinations, but what love can be means to me. All these wasted lines the paper finds, potentially about you and me. The devil makes three, oh baby. Well, maybe tomorrow can change. And sometimes love slips away. I don't believe in fairy tales. Something in my eyes. Something in my eyes. Something in my eyes. Oh yeah. Novocaine in a candy-coated shell. Novocaine in a candy-coated hell.
Wow. Love the lyrics. Love the way you paint pictures with your words. Where did the songwriting come from? The inspirations, the influences for you as a writer.
Well, a lot of these songs are written about relationships. I think Adele was onto something great, you know, because she's gone like album number 5 on the same breakup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's
her and Taylor Swift. They use romance to go platinum.
Yeah, so I you know, and I just think of all these. I like writing about real life. I mean, I have, you know, kind of done the. Well, some of my friends who are songwriters and have written big hits, you know, I said, hey, what's that song you wrote that was a big hit? What was that really about? Were you guys really, and he's like, you know, we're just kind of talking about, you know, in an office somewhere, just kind of throwing concepts at a boy. And I was like, that seems so weird to me, like, because I think I feel stuff deeply. You know, I react to that real life stuff. So, you know, and you know, of course, my dad's a great songwriter. So, you know, he always would kind of say, you know, write about what you know about. And, you know, whatever that is, you know, see what resonates. And people seem to connect with those real life songs because they say, I can feel what you were feeling.
Right, there. Right. You
know? And hopefully that's what comes across.
Have you written with your father?
We haven't written anything together. Usually it's, you know, I send him something and say, what do you think of this? And then we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's on, so my first single, maybe I'll write that down, that we released, had a bulk of the song written and, you know, I said, well, you know, this is about what I have on it. And he always said, well, you know, it just needs something else, you know? And, I didn't know what that something else was. And we were just kind of talking about different things. And then, you know, one day, I think I sat on it for like a year after I thought it was done. And then I said, well, wait, what about this? And I sent it to him. He's like, that's it. You know, so he's definitely always, you know, helping out with advice. And I mean, he taught me a lot because even when I would write just little ideas, like my mom always talks about a song that I called Chicken Noodle Soup on piano. It's, you know, or cream of mushroom soup or something. I think it was chicken noodle, but it was something like that. Just a little concept of how. So, you know, I'd write little ideas, you know, and they would just, you know, always be, you know, helping to nudge it in the right direction of, you know, really being a finished product versus, you know, just, you know, something that feels there's. I hate when I hear a song on the radio and it's like, it feels 90% there and it just never goes over the top. You're like, oh, just hit the home run. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Almost there, but.
But not quite.
Yeah.
Now, with maybe I'll write this down. We're going to play it here in just a second. Is it complete to you now? Do you still, I mean, it was your first song that you feel is your first real song, obviously. Mm-hmm. Listening to it now, do you still want to tweak it? Do you know it's the best it can be?
You know, I'm really happy with it. I remember when we were doing it, and this is actually one of those things with my dad that I'm so thankful for. And it could have been cool, all these concepts, and they may happen in other forms at some point anyway. But I said, well, you know, I'm going to do a band version of it, you know, which would end up probably sounding like a power ballad or something with, you know, obnoxious guitar solos or something. but I always told people, this is my Elton John, your song, mm-hmm. you know.
I can hear that. I really can. Okay.
And I remember when I was young, you know, I remember my dad used to play that on piano sometimes.
Your song?
Yeah, he would play Elton John, your song. And he would sing, you know, to my mom and just different songs. And you know, it's got strings and stuff in it. And I kept thinking, God, I really want to put strings and all this stuff in it. And it's like, now I hear my, maybe I'll write that down. I'm like, I'm glad. Cause he said, I don't know about the strings, you know, just leave it with the piano. It sounds nice. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I never put the strings on it. Cause I've heard, it just seems too generic 70s.
Okay. You know. Too lush.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's play it. This is Jamie's first song, and this is just you on here, right?
Mm-hmm. Just me on the piano and voice.
Maybe I'll write this down. Maybe you should turn it up.
I've got an old notebook with a list of songs inside. I got a song for every thought. It ain't hard to find the words I'm thinking of. Cause songs are in a set of, I'm sure. Where the words to say. Trapped inside my mind when I'm dreaming. I'm spending all my life with you, and I'm sorry, baby. I'll write that down. It's 3 a.m. I'm searching like a fool. But I just can't seem to find the words to say. You know they never really come out right. I guess I'll have to write them this time. Where the words to say. Trapped inside my mind when I'm dreaming. I spent it all my life with you, and I'm sorry, baby. Write them down. Well, sometimes a man don't know the words to say. I fake it the best I can. I know it might have took a little time. I finally found my words. Oh baby, oh baby, yeah. I'm just a singer by the man's songs, yeah. Never really had to write the words down. Oh, it's hard to find the words trapped inside this band. With you gone, baby, write them down. With you gone, baby. Him down.
Maybe, just maybe, I'll write that down. I think you should. The name of the song is Maybe I'll Write That Down. The name of the artist, Jamie M. Harrison from East Chicago, Indiana, by way of the world, living in Albuquerque, New Mexico these days. You can keep up with them at jamiemharrison.com. There's a great picture of with that guitar and that scarf. I just realized it's the same guitar and scarf you've got in here. You're also on Facebook.
Indeed.
And you are do a lot of responding. I noticed that there's a lot of folks that were chiming in about your appearance here tonight. And I know they are streaming us via the stream in Liverpool, England. So hello to all our British listeners out there. And the same thing happened when I had your dad on here. Mm-hmm. We had more listeners from all over the globe and all over America than we did from right here in the region. And it's pretty phenomenal, the reach that that you guys have with your fans.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, my dad spent a lot of time in the UK and touring over in that part of the world. I haven't got to do too much over there yet, so but one day, probably soon.
Now, you've got endorsements. Let's talk about that a little bit. How did you get these? And how did you explode to the national level from being a local guy? Of course, you went to New Mexico with the Air Force, but you came out of the Air Force. You thought, maybe I'll go back to music. Well, all of a sudden you get endorsements. You're rubbing elbows with top session guys. You've got guests on your album. How did this all happen? What was the kismet there that made this jive?
I think that, you know, one thing I always try to do is, you know, so being in the Chicago area, you know, we've worked in Illinois, you know, done studios in Chicago. Different people would come in from Chicago to do stuff. But anywhere that I was at, I tried to at least reach out a little bit. So when I was here, you know, a gig that would happen in, like, Michigan, like Southern Michigan could happen. Mm-hmm. A gig that would happen in Illinois would happen. You know, you could go as far as Wisconsin. So that's a little regional thing. And then you know, I think we even shot down to like Tennessee or something one time. And then when I went to Texas in the Air Force, I did some shows in Texas. And, you know, you can get over to Louisiana. And then when you're in New Mexico, you could do Texas, Colorado, Arizona. So by that point, you've hit a big part of the country. And then you've been everywhere. So mm-hmm. people just think of you as that. And I believe in speaking what you want to happen. And that's part of making it happen. You know, so I always wanted to be a touring guy.
So you need to have the confidence to go out and grab what you want, grab the ring.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And as far as endorsements, it's, you know, it can be anything. I mean, sometimes it's you write a company and say, hey, I've already bought this. I really like this. I love what you guys do. I just wanted to let you know. Hey, do you want to be one of our artists? Do you want to be one of the guys that talks about stuff and, you know, we'll give you discounts? Yeah, sure. You know, cool. Other times, it's like you can tell about people you've worked with and certain accomplishments. But most of it's everybody that I use, mm-hmm. I really believe in. You know, I have someone I can call on the phone. You know, like I'm playing Iconic Guitars by Kevin Proctor. And this is a beautiful, you know, Telecaster. I've got a Stratocaster in here as well. And, you know, it's all to my spec, custom pickups. You know, whatever neck profile I want, the finish. You know, I've got the Headrush pedal board, which is doing all the, you know, sounds that we're hearing on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that fun stuff. You know, Eastman Guitars is all my acoustic stuff and my hollow bodies.
So, do you like electric over acoustic better?
You know, it just depends on what I'm doing.
Okay.
It's kind of like if I'm doing electric, a lot of times I have to everybody always says, wow, you're a real rock, like the solo in Purple Rain. Like everyone thinks of me as that guy only.
Right.
And while I love that, I love playing pretty chords. And, you know, I take guitar lessons currently. You know, I still take guitar lessons as often as I can from people who are better than me, from a guy named Michael Anthony, the jazz guitarist.
Okay.
And he was a Wrecking Crew guy. So he's played with Joe Pass and Glenn Campbell and Larry Carlton and all these guys like that. So he's forgotten more than I'll ever know in my life. He just knows what I need to do to get to the next level. And he's just such a wealth of knowledge. And he's got books of his own and stuff so you can find on the internet. But, you know, just things like that and just trying to learn and play pretty chords. And
When your album's out, obviously you're going to want to go out and market it. Are you going to put your own band together in New Mexico? Are you going to just go city to city and have jobbers and have everything charted? I mean, how's it going to work for you?
Well, it's always good to have charts. And, you know, if you can find guys that you can do the, you know, Dropbox thing with, that's great. But so the guys that are on the record, Rich and Guy, they actually live in New Mexico now.
Okay.
Which is great. So I can actually use them whenever I have something coming up, which is awesome. But there's
are they willing to go on the road with you then too?
I bet I could talk them into it.
Okay.
You know, they're both you know, full-time musicians at this point as well. You know, Rich is a session player on a lot of people's stuff, and everybody that has worked with Guy is always trying to get him again. So
mm-hmm.
It's pretty awesome. And I know a lot of different people in different regions. So I think as we know how all those things look, you know, there's definitely people we can call.
Any live dates coming up besides the one I'm going to plug here in a moment for Sunday?
Yeah. So in August, we'll be in Rebecca R. Scott, the singer with me on Purple Rain, will be in Puerto Rico. We'll be doing four gigs in Vieques, which is an island just off of Puerto Rico, with one of the best beaches in the world.
Have you played there before?
No, but that's what I've read.
Okay.
But it's beautiful. Our contacts have been so kind to us. And, you know, Bose is actually sponsoring a PA system for us because I'm a Bose clinician and artist.
They are the best.
They're awesome.
They are the best, I got to say. So is it her gig or your gig? Or
it's her. So I play in her reggae band.
Okay.
Yeah, she's Jamaican Spanish. So she's actually got some mean street cred in the islands. She writes some amazing music, incredible singer. There's actually a GoFundMe, which you can see on Rebecca's page. It's Rebecca R. Scott. We're hoping to raise some money for Puerto Rico, actually, with that GoFundMe.
Now, does she have albums out as well?
She does. She's got they're all slipping my mind what the titles are. But, yeah, she's got an EP she just released maybe about a year ago.
Are you on any of her recordings?
Not yet.
Just the live stuff right now.
Just from when she had already recorded her album when I met her. So.
Okay. For those of you that are in the Northwest Indiana area, this Sunday, July 22nd at 4 p.m., Jamie is going to grace us over at my record store, The Record Bin, at 218 Main Street. It's a very small little room if you've ever been to the store in the back. It's very intimate, so we're going to have him do a few songs live there. We're going to broadcast them on internet radio. And you're invited to come, but come early because it is limited in there and only so many can fit into the building. So come early and hang out in the store with us, and Jamie's going to bring his guitar, maybe acoustic and electric. You never know.
Maybe.
Could be.
And a piano. There will be a piano set up in there, too.
Really?
So, yeah.
Okay, you're going to bring a piano.
Not a real piano.
But a keyboard.
I'll bring my Dexavel Vivo. So it's an AD keyboard.
So are you... I mean, again, this is about you, but is there been any talk of you and your dad doing any live shows together at all? I haven't seen him perform in years, and I don't know if he's still performing at all.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a lot of things. I mean, he's always writing. That's one thing, and recording. You know, there's a Pro Tools set up at the house.
Still got the grand piano in the living room?
There's a grand piano in the living
room. Okay, I remember that.
Yeah.
As you ran around it in your pajamas.
There's not a plan of it at this point. I mean, of course, we've always talked about different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's I guess it always depends on, because he's so busy. And, you know, I'm busy as well. So it just depends if we can. It's hard for me to even get time to come home and just, like, hang out on the couch, you know,
right.
Let alone
work. Well, I hope you're
work.
Getting some time doing that now. You're home for a little while.
Yeah, I got to rest a little bit. I had a long flight, so.
Okay. Now, are you getting into production? I mean, your dad did a lot of production. He produced a lot of his own stuff, meticulously, in fact. He's rebooting a lot of his old stuff. Are you getting into that side of the business, too?
Yeah. So, actually, both those songs you heard were produced by me.
Okay.
So, and like the Purple Rain, the different arrangement, that was me. The vocal arrangement stuff was all me. And I'm just as meticulous as that. In fact, I always laugh because... I think when I was younger, I didn't understand the need for being so meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he always tried to instill the idea that just because other people have lower standards doesn't mean that needs to be your standard.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, people will say, well, I think it's good. And I'm like, no, it's not good enough. You know, like let's, you know, because there's, if you have just good, you know, it's not regional good. It's not state good. It's just good.
Right.
You know? So no one can say anything about it if it's just good.
Right. Well, is there anything we haven't touched on you want to let people know? Any quick shout outs to anyone?
Well, yeah, I think, yeah, any of the gig stuff, you know, find me on Facebook, Jamie M. Harrison. You know, there's a personal page as well. There's Instagram, Jamie M. Harrison. There's the website, which is getting revamped soon. And, of course, the album is the top priority. We're working really hard on that. And, yeah, lots of gigs coming up, especially Puerto Rico. So if you're doing a vacation, you know, mid-August would be the time to go there and come check us out with the reggae deal. And, yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, let's leave them with a song and a reminder that this Sunday, July 22nd, 4 p.m., downtown Hobart at the Record Bin, we'll be there, and we'd love to see you there. And if you can't make it into the room, you can hang out in the store and listen, or we will be broadcasting it live on the internet. We'll give you all the details on that online. But for now, let's say goodbye with a song. What are we going to play, Jamie?
This one's called All of the Love Songs.
All of the Love Songs.
Yep, and this one's fun. I always laugh at it because I wrote it on guitar, but on the record I've got a an 80s Mark II Rhodes.
Oh.
So the principal on the record is the Rhodes, and then on the acoustic version it's acoustic guitar. So.
Now, before we get into playing it, you seem – the running theme is romance and heartbreak and love. Are you a romantic at heart?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the – you know, I like all that stuff. I like rocking out, but – I love, you know, Bill Withers and Bobby Caldwell and even Stevie Wonder love songs. I mean, you know, and a friend of mine, he always told me, he said, you know, a lot of people can sing a lot of things, but, you know, the real sauce if you're a singer is you got to be able to nail a ballad.
All right.
That's how you know. That's the deal.
Well, let's do it. This is All the Love Songs. And this is Jamie M. Harrison. And keep up with them on Facebook and at jamiemharrison.com.
Mornings come and they will go. Sometimes there's rain. Funny how the sun can change. Smiles hide in shade. Oh, I've been down this road too many times before. What's beyond this opening door? I just gotta know. All of a sudden, I love the love songs with you. Baby, things you do. Hold my hand, steal my breath. All of a sudden, the love songs with you. Another day that I wake up, smile on my face. Kiss away the loneliness. How could I feel this way? Oh, I guess I'm a fool for dancing in the flame. Music on the radio, it all sounds the same. All of a sudden, I love the love songs with you. Baby, things you do. Hold my hand, steal my breath. All of a sudden, the love songs with you. And the sky bursts in flames. Eyes this blue can't hide the pain of you. All of a sudden, I love the love songs with you. Baby, things you do break my heart, steal my breath. All of a sudden, the love songs, they